La fata illa lila, saifa illa dhulfaqar. La fata illa lila, saifa illa dhulfaqar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have now reached to the 16th tradition from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And the topic for today that we want to look at in this beautiful and somewhat lengthy tradition are the three foundational and fundamental pillars of society. Now we know that the world that we live in is built up of many factors. There are many individuals who we rely on a day-to-day basis. There are many professions that we rely on to help us out in many of our life needs and challenges. And all of those on one side are obviously very important. But in this particular tradition that we want to reflect upon today, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, has stressed upon three specific factors, three specific foundational pillars that we need to rely upon. And he also shows us the dangers if these three do not fulfill their God-given obligations and mandates. So in this tradition, we read the following statement. The transient world rests on three factors: the articulate scholar who acts according to the knowledge which he expresses, the affluent individual who is not miserly when it comes to giving his wealth to the people of God, the noble, the grand, the needy person when he bears his difficulty with patience and fortitude. Therefore, when the scholar conceals his knowledge and does not share it with others who need it, and the rich person is miserly and does not help the needy people in society, and the underprivileged does not display patience in the face of adversity, then tribulations and destruction will engulf the world. This, again, as we see, is a very beautiful and very powerful tradition from the Commander of the Faithful. In it, he gives us three pillars of our society, and also what would happen if these three pillars begin to falter and shake, that they will not only bring themselves down, but rather they have the potential and ability to destroy the entire society of humanity and the world that as we know it today. The first thing that the Commander of the Faithful mentions is the articulate scholar who acts according to his knowledge. So here we see two important factors. One is that it is a scholar, a religious authority, who is articulate, who speaks. And the commentator of the hadith gives us the example of a scholar who has knowledge but does not speak, does not go out and lecture and talk to people. He compares it to emeralds, pearls, diamonds, jewels, which are hidden beneath the ground, beneath the ocean. And yes, they are jewels. You know, no doubt a diamond is a diamond, whether it's, 100 feet underground or on the finger of in a ring. But obviously, if it's underground, you can't see it, you can't benefit from it, you can't market it, you can't use it. So what good is it underground? Similarly, is a scholar who does not use his or her knowledge and go out and propagate and speak and convey a message. Yes, they have knowledge, but if they're silent, they are really of no benefit other than to themselves. But also the Commander of the Faithful mentions an important point. Not only are they articulate scholars, they speak, they convey a word, but he says they are individuals who act according to what they know. They practice what they preach. And we have many traditions within the sayings of the 14 infallibles that tell us the dangers of a scholar who gains knowledge but does not act upon it. The Quran also gives us an example in one of the chapters where Allah compares a scholar who followed his lower desires to a dog. He compares a scholar, imagine a religious authority, to a dog. So we see that we are not only obligated at this level, the scholarship is not obligated only to be speaking and out there in the forefront, leading and guiding the masses, but also they have to be ones who are following their own directives. They're actually practicing what they themselves are preaching in their day-to-day life. The second thing that the Commander mentions are those rich people, those who are affluent, those who are wealthy and who give their wealth to the people of God for the sake of God. We know that the wealth that we have been given Yes, we go to work, we have our businesses, we have all of the things that we do, but ultimately Allah tells us in the Quran that the wealth that you have, it has been given to you by a higher authority. And so when we have been given something from a higher authority and it's not ours to begin with, then we have to be sure and we have to ensure that we spend it in the way that that individual, that authority has given it to us and how he would want us to spend it. And therefore we see that this part of the tradition also becomes important, that the rich have to give their fair share in the society, whether this be through the religious obligations that we have as believers, or whether it be through taxes, whether we ensure that we are paying our fair share within the societies that we live. And not only the obligations, also we know in the Quran that Allah tells us not only pay the obligatory tax, but also give something above and beyond the obligation. Because that, when you give you above and beyond what you have to give, that is really where the benefit lies in an individual. So the second point is for the rich to be able to share their wealth with the people of Allah. The third point the Imam mentions are the poor, that when a person is needy and he is in a difficult time within their life, that they need to bear that challenge with patience, with fortitude. Yes, being in a state of poverty is difficult. Not having perhaps enough money to enjoy the comforts of life or even to put the basic necessities, the food on the table, to pay the rent, those are obviously challenges. And the Imam is not saying that you put up with it and live in poverty, but no, he's saying that bear it with patience, with fortitude, meaning that do whatever you can to get yourself out of that situation. Not to take it laying down, but rather to be proactive, to try and change the state that you find yourself in. But the commander of the faithful doesn't end here. He doesn't just say that these are the three things and that's the all end all and be all of things. No, he continues in this hadith and he mentions that if you see an example of a scholar who conceals his knowledge, he doesn't teach it and or he does not act upon it. So that's the first tribulation, is a scholar who will not act upon his or her knowledge or give it to other people. They hoard the knowledge to themselves. They don't want to go out and teach and preach and convey a message. When you see those individuals who are hiding the message, and he says when you see a rich person who is miserly, who does not want to help the needy, they feel as we read in Surah Yasin, well, if Allah wanted to, he could feed the poor, he could help the needy. Yes, Allah could, but he uses you and I as conduits, as a intermediary to help and to assist the poor people of society. So the Imam says, when you see the rich are not helping the needy, they're not helping the poor people of a society. And he says at the third level, you see the poor people are not bearing their challenges with patience. They're not displaying fortitude in the face of difficulties and tribulations that are going through their life. Then the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, he tells us the following. He says that at that point in time, when these three things don't fall into their rightful place, he says that tribulations and destruction will engulf the world, that the entire world will go towards perdition, because the scholars are no longer teaching right and wrong, morality and ethics. They're not going out and speaking to the masses. They're themselves also not following what they are preaching. So people see the scholar saying one thing, but doing something else. This will lead other people, perhaps, to corruption. When you see the rich continue to hoard their money and they become that elite 1%, and the 99% are just asking for what is their rightful share, and they are not given that, and the governments are not supporting them, then you will see death and destruction and mayhem and chaos and anarchy rule the world, as has been happening in many of the movements around the world, where people are occupying Wall Street and occupying different cities around the world to show their displeasure with the level of injustice and economic iniquities within the world. And when you see the poor are not patient, when they're not bearing the difficulty with fortitude, and they're not doing what they can do to earn their own livelihood, and then again anarchy and corruption will become rampant, then as the Imam says, that this is a premonition, that this is a clear indication when these things happen, that death, destruction, anarchy, chaos will rule over the world. And we ask God to protect us from such terrible times when these groups of individuals do not fulfill their responsibility, and that we are then put face to face to live in a society of chaos and anarchy and a place where lawlessness is the rule of the law. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.